Good evening, everyone. It's good to see everyone out this evening. I'm feeling a lot better than I did this morning. I was able to talk with my sister-in-law this afternoon, and I told her it took me this long to stop crying before I could talk to her without crying more. And we had a real good visit, and she is someone that's always treated me like her baby brother, and I've always looked at her as a big sister. And Carol was making a comment to me about that, and I said, you know, that's the way it is with families and in the church, and we have such a big family. It's not always by blood, but by the relationship we have with someone else. And she, again, with my brother just dying yesterday morning, she said it's going to be a while before they have arrangements worked out, and she will let me know, and I will pass that on. So this morning, we looked at Romans 3:4. Certainly not, indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. And we were looking at the words of men versus the words of God. We want to follow along that same theme this evening and look at the silence of God. Malachi 1:6 says, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts to you priests who despise my name. Sometimes I hear men or women start off praying, Lord God Father. And there's nothing wrong with saying that phrase, but I think sometimes people don't understand the implications of it. Lord means that is someone that has rule over us, reign over us. God, He is our Creator. He is worthy of all our worship. Lord God, Father, He's the one that we honor, that commands our respect, that demands our respect and reverence. And a son honors his father and a servant his master, if we call God our father, then we need to reverence him. This has always been an issue. In Matthew 21, now when he came into the temple, speaking of Jesus, the chief priests and elders of the people confronted him as he was teaching and said, by what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you that authority? This is something we should always ask people. Again, a lot of them will go to their articles of faith or this man's book or something. But Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, we fear the multitude, for all count John as a prophet. So they answered Jesus and said, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. So there's only two possible sources of authority. It's either from heaven or from man. And only the divine authority is acceptable. And again, something else that has me wanting to talk about this, besides just the recent events and dealing and talking in our family that believes differently than we do, we are getting visitors from the community regularly. Now, some of them come in, they're here a few minutes, and they turn around and they leave without getting to talk with them. Maybe they're looking for the coffee pot. Maybe they're looking for the organ. Maybe they're looking for this or that. But we are creating an awareness and a curiosity among the community. And we need to be able, when we get the chance to speak with someone, to show them why this is so important. We recognize authority. We recognize authority in all areas of our life. Without authority, we have chaos. You know, if I had a stack of money like this, I couldn't go to the grocery store and buy anything. They'd just laugh at me. Again, they'd laugh at me. and say, you can't do that. There's no authority with this. Again, people go to all different types of places to get their authority. One we're going to look at this evening is silence. And stop and consider, for the first 1,000 years, there are basically only two churches. You had the Lord's church that began on the day of Pentecost, and you had the Catholic church. Those were basically the only two churches that existed. The church that Jesus built and a man-made church. You go down through time, and by the time you get to the 1500s, you see all of these other denominations that broke off the Catholic Church, Calvinism, Presbyterian, the Church of England, the Baptist Church. You keep going right on down the line, down through time. The Methodists, United Methodists, the Holiness Movement, Salvation Army, Northern Baptist Convention, Southern Baptist Convention, Seventh-day Adventists, 1500s, the Mennonites come in, 1600, the Amish from Jacob Ammon. You have the Lutheran Church. All of these are man-made churches, man-made religions. And Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. So many people want to follow the tradition of men. And what is the tradition of men? It's whatever something some man has said and has written it down, and they want to follow that instead of God's word. We have these different men here that started their churches. Well, did these men have authority to start their own churches? We looked at this morning in Matthew 7, where all of those religious people that came to Jesus, he told them to depart from me, you workers of iniquity, you that work lawlessness. They had no authority for what they were doing. Jesus said, I will build my church. He didn't say, I'll build a plurality of churches. We see in Acts 20 where Paul warned the elders at Ephesus that there was going to be a departure from the truth. And with that departure, he said it would come from among yourselves, from among the eldership. They were going to depart from the truth. Galatians 1, Paul said, if any man or an angel comes and preaches anything to you differently than what I have, let him be accursed. And people look, they love the diversity of all the religion out there. They love it. Oh, we've got so many choices today. We can believe and practice whatever we want to. Friends, you can, but there's going to be a price to pay for following something other than Christ. That's going to be the wrath of God. The wrath of God is going to come on us. As we mentioned this morning, Christ, when Christ the church builder, we can go to his grave and aren't going to find anybody there. The grave couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. He rose from the dead. And when he rose from the dead, remember all of those that were in the graves around Jerusalem, they rose and came into the city of Jerusalem. And who could deny that this was the Son of God? All the signs that took place at the crucifixion, those dead coming out from the graves, coming in, all the signs, wonders, and miracles, Jesus was the church builder, period. All of these other organizations are the inventions of man. And do I say that to be mean? I don't say that to be mean. I say that because our friends, our families, souls, our souls are at stake. Our eternity is at stake. And if we love people, we need to find the way to get them to see that they can't put their trust in the words of men. that's the most dangerous place you can put it. Don't put your trust in anything that I say. You check everything that I say with the Bible. If I say something and the Bible says it, then we need to obey it. If I say something different than the Bible, you need to get me out of here. It's God's word. It's the words of men or the words of God. Well, there are two attitudes concerning the word of God and the silence of God. One of these, Martin Luther, one of the reformers, a great German reformer, where the Bible is silent, where God has not spoken, we are at liberty to act as we think best. Thus, silence gives us freedom to act. And we hear that today. Well, the Bible doesn't say we can't do that. The Bible doesn't say, it doesn't come out and say we can't have woman preachers. We can't have women pastors. And that just boggles my mind when a woman thinks she can fill that position when the Bible says a pastor, a bishop, an elder must be the husband of one wife. You see, they aren't listening to the Bible. They're listening to some man or to whatever they were taught in school. And this Bible, they just close their Bible and they go and listen to the words of men. So this principle, where God is not spoken, we are at liberty to act as we think best. How about Nadab and Abihu? That's what they thought. Yeah, bro, the Bible doesn't say we can't, and we know how God reacted to them. He smote them dead. That's a lesson for us. Where the Bible is silent, we must be silent. We can only do those things which the Lord has authorized. Where the Scriptures speak, we speak. Where the Scriptures are silent, we are silent. Are two attitudes where, again, we must have positive authority for what we do. People will say, well, it doesn't say you can't. That's not how you establish authority. If the speed limit out in front of the building is 35 miles an hour, and I'm doing 75 miles an hour, and someone, a policeman pulls me over and I say, well, it didn't say I can't do 75. He'd look at me like I'm crazy, and I would be crazy. Because when it states what we can do, that excludes everything else. And what does that involve in? That's involved in our worship. That's involved in the work of the church. That's involved in the finance of the church, our day-to-day activities. When it says what we can do, we do that, and we cannot do anything that it does not. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So back to our law and the Constitution. Thomas Jefferson, he was a strict constructionist. We can only do what the Constitution gives us the authority to do. Alexander Hamilton was a loose constructionist. This quote from him, there's nothing in the Constitution prohibiting the establishment of a national bank. There's not a single line that says thou shalt not have the government engaging in the banking business. And you see how that parallels religion? There's nothing in the Bible that says thou shalt not have an organ up here. There's nothing in the Bible that says thou shalt not do this or that. And this is why whenever there are Supreme Court justices appointed in our government, part of that interview process is to see if they are a strict constructionist or a loose constructionist. And they will say, do you view our Constitution as a dead document or one that is alive and living? And see, for a little history lesson, our Constitution is a dead document. The Bible is a dead document. What does that mean? It means it doesn't change. It doesn't change. It's not open to interpretation. Well, this is what it meant back in the first century, but this is what it means now. No, it means the same thing now that it meant back then. No. Be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And someone will say, Bruce, you're just too narrow-minded. You're too legalistic. Well, truth is narrow. Matthew chapter 7. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. When we follow truth, we can't go way over here and way over there. And different people do it for different reasons, but we've got to get people to see they've got to come back to God's word, and it is narrow. That gate that we are going to enter in is narrow. Sometimes people will say, well, this is what the majority of people believe. Well, you just stop and think about that in Matthew chapter 7, whatever that is that they're talking about. The majority of people on the day of judgment are going to be wrong. That Broadway is going to lead to destruction. We don't want to be concerned what the crowd believes. We want to be concerned what God says. And we don't need to take a poll. We don't need to take a vote to see, are you in favor of this? Are you in favor of that? We just go back to God's word. Lord God, Father, we submit to our Lord. God, he's worthy of worship. Father, that relationship that we have with him. There's no authority from silence. Things that have evolved from the silence of the scriptures has brought about so much of the division in the 19th century. The missionary society, people said, you know, the American Christian Missionary Society, the concept, well, it doesn't say we can't do this, so we're going to organize this way, and it'll be more efficient, and we can do more work. Well, friends, do you think that God failed in how he set up the organization of the church? Do you think he wasn't smart enough to know what he was doing, and it takes some man 1,800 years after Christ to come up with a better way of doing it? Friends, the local church is established well enough to do the local work. God has given everything to the church that it needs to do the work. So you had that in the 1850s, the American Christian Missionary Society. Short time after that, you had instrumental music. And you stop and think about this too. So we're talking about in this country, I don't know about Europe or other places, but in this country, the church existed for 1,800 years without a missionary society. Now, was the church not doing everything that it was supposed to be doing? I think it was. Would they have been wrong for not having a missionary society? I don't think they would have been wrong. Well, who's wrong then? It's whoever invented this and said we need to be doing it. The instrumental music. It was brought in to the church. There was a lot of opposition against it. It went out. And you notice, too, there are so many things today that you see somebody introduce something, and they have no intention of people accepting it right now, but they introduce it. And then a little bit later, they will introduce it again. And then a little bit later, they will introduce it again. And before you know it, people have accepted it. I think it was last Sunday evening, and I'll let out a big secret. I like to watch Perry Mason on Sunday night. So during that movie, they were advertising the guy that comes on after that show. the name escaped me right now. And anyway, Ed Sullivan. And he was showing the acts that were going to be on. And this was like an old show. And one of the entertainers that he had was going to have on that night was a female impersonator. This man dressed as a female, and he was going to come out and sing. Back, I don't know if that was the 60s, early 70s. I'm guessing it was the 60s. And I just saw that and went back to the 60s and thought, boy, that's not right. But now it has been accepted so much. You see all kinds of people and types of people where society has accepted that. Trained choirs, chicken dinners, ice cream socials, women preachers, and established clergy. They say that silence is permissive. Silence of the scriptures in the division of the 19th century, innovations rejected as the pattern in New Testament was sought to follow strictly. So you had one group that said silence permits, another group, the church, that says silence restricts. If God is silent on it, we have no authority. We have no authority to do whatever that may be. Some will say we have many things for which we have no authority today. There's this new hermeneutics. They reject pattern theology. There's a gospel doctrine distinction. That is an attitude of permissive thinking. And that is spreading throughout so many churches. Well, there's a lot of things we don't have authority for. We don't have authority to have a table for this or that, or to have a PowerPoint. That's different. That is an expediency to carry out the work of the church. That is not a departure from what we are to do. That is something to assist in that. This new hermeneutics, basically, it like it says, it rejects pattern theology. Again, for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, we all agreed. We establish authority on just a few simple basic principles. And then this idea, these smart people that have more education come out and say, oh, no, here's a new way of looking at things. We are not limited to this. I think this can be this, and it means that. And before you know it, they're speaking a whole different language. They're speaking, like I've said before, the language of Ashdod. When the Israelites were told not to marry those women from those seven nations in the land of Canaan, God told them not to. He knew it would be trouble. They did. They married. They were led into idolatry. And at one point it talks about they couldn't understand the words of God because they were speaking the words of Ashdod. Friends, when we let people that don't respect God's word come and mix in with people that do, and we don't call them out and say, this isn't acceptable, this isn't right, we just, like one of the terms today, we assimilate them, we welcome them and let them come on in. And what happens? You look at I don't want to talk politics, but you look at our country and the church. What happens when we invite them and they are assimilated into a group? We, more times than not, do not change them. They change us. Why? Because they're going to bring their innovations in with them. I got to have something for the kids to do, so I'm going to bring a bag of toys for them to play instead of learning how to behave in a worship service. You know, I got up late. I need my coffee. I'm going to bring in a couple cups of coffee to have during the worship service. And things get accepted, and they come in. And then, again, you get into the emotional side of it. Well, you can't mean that this is wrong, and you can't say that about this person. Look at how much good he does. And we get totally off the Word of God. Two attitudes, the silence of Scriptures. Hebrews 8:5, who served the copy and shadow of the heavenly things as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, "See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain." Friends, that's what we are to do today. We are to make all things according to the pattern. And the organization of the church, the work of the church, the worship of the church, permissive. If God doesn't say, "I can't," then I can. Prohibitive. If God doesn't say, "I can," then I can't. And again, it goes back to Malachi 1:6. Do we respect God? Do we respect what he says? Or do we think what he says doesn't matter? And again, remember, it's his word that is going to judge us in the last day. We need to make sure that we are handling accurately the word of God. We must know whether God's word, God's silence is permissive or prohibitive. We have different examples of that. The example of the man picking up sticks on the Sabbath in Numbers 15. When they caught this man, the Lord said to Moses, "The man must surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp." So the Lord commanded Moses, all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. But leading up to that, they found this man gathering sticks. They brought him to Moses. They put him under guard because it had not been explained what should be done. It hadn't been explained, so they did not presume it was right to act upon God's silence. So they asked Moses, and Moses asked, you know, the Lord told Moses, yeah, he was working on the Sabbath, he's got to be put to death. God did not restrict those who did not listen to his silence. Jesus' attitude toward the Pharisees' tradition. Did he say their traditions and teaching was good? It's good to have all this diversity. I'm so glad all you religious people have all this diversity. He said, "And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do." He said to them, "All too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition." The Pharisees bound several things as religious observances that God had not bound. God was silent concerning those things. Again, we go for a pattern. A pattern establishes an exclusive pattern. Exclusive, that doesn't mean it's fancy. Sometimes we talk about something being exclusive. Exclusive means it excludes all other things. So with the collection, concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. So when it specifies on the first day of the week, can we give any other day? No, that excludes. That excludes. We understand that. A lot of people in the world don't understand that. When God told Noah to make an ark out of gopher wood, when he specified gopher wood, that excluded everything else. So this establishes an exclusive pattern for when and how we raise money. Anything else is not going to honor God. Again, not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. It's either from man or from God. Respect for God's word demands a certain attitude toward God's silence. If a contractor cannot find something on the blueprint, what does he do? Nothing. You have somebody come in and remodel your kitchen, or you have them build a house. You say, "I want you to build this house for me." here are the plans. And he comes back and he's added on this room and taken that off and made all kinds of changes. Are you going to pay him? No, he did not follow the blueprint. Friends, there are a lot of people, they think they are in a church. They aren't in the Lord's church. And they think, I shouldn't say they think they're following the pattern. Some of them, I know, don't even know there is a pattern. They just, again, go with whatever they hear someone say. To silence authorize, the Bible is full of people that presumed when it said, thou shalt not do this, with Cain and Nadab and Abihu, Moses, King Saul, David's ox cart, Jeroboam. All of these show that silence does not authorize. So again, does silence authorize? We cannot know the mind of God except through his revelation. How do I know what any of you are thinking? I can look at Jim and I think, I wonder what he's thinking. And I can look at him all night long and I'm not going to know what he's thinking until he tells me what he's thinking. And the same it is with God. We can wonder, what is God thinking? What does God want us to do? And we are not going to know until we open up his word and he is telling us what he is thinking and what he wants us to do. God has revealed all that he wants from us. 1 Peter 1:3, 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. And when we walk by faith means that we walk by what God has said. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, the written word. And it's interesting too. So like when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness and he went back to the old law, he said, it is written. That's some of the first recorded words we have when he began his public ministry. It is written, establishing the basis for any and everything. It is written. But you know, under the old law, there were some oral traditions, some things that weren't written down. And Jesus didn't say, remember when this man told this other man this? Now, it's not written down, but remember when he told him that? See, everything is black and white. It's concrete. It's the written word. It's the written word. Because there were other parts that was oral tradition, but Jesus said, it is written. We have to go back to it is written. We walk by faith, not by sight. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. What happens though? People think more of man than God. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against another. So, which are you going to believe? Are you going to believe me or are you going to believe the Bible? I hope you all say you're going to believe the Bible. But what happens again, people don't study, they don't read, and they hear somebody talk about something. And a lot of times we have this perception of Satan dressed like this red devil with a pitchfork, but that's not how he appears. He appears as a man. And there are places where it talks about he will appear as an angel of light. He's very deceptive. He's very deceptive. And Paul never said we should respect other people's beliefs. And again, we have this agenda today. You have to be accepting of what everybody believes. You know, this diversity, that's a key word. This diversity is so, so great. You got to accept everybody, be loving. Is that what Paul said? You got to respect what I believe about my religion. Paul never said we should respect other beliefs. He said, if anyone preach a different gospel, let him be accursed. That's why did he say that? It's a serious thing. It's a serious thing. The person that is preaching has an obligation to preach the truth. the person that is listening has an obligation to check it out. And either, if someone is teaching false doctrine and someone is listening, either one or both of them can end up losing their soul. It's a dangerous thing. Even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Well, what's another gospel? It's anything you can't find in this book. Just like the articles of faith I was reading this morning. You can't find it in this book. That's another gospel. So does silence authorize? That which pleases us may not please God. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. So if we want to know how to please God, what do we do? Do we think up ways? No, we just go to his word. So does silence authorize? If it did, what could we refuse? If silence authorizes, we could use cheese and crackers on the Lord's Supper. We could have a piano, an organ, a rock band, a choir, an orchestra, social programs, entertainment programs. We could worship at the Hunting Lodge Church, the Lakeside Church, the Family Picnic Church. And a lot of people would say, well, yeah, sure, we can do that. That's a good idea. Friends, it's not a good idea. So where do we draw the circle? We draw it around the book, chapter, and verse. And again, some will say, you're being too legalistic. It's so much more than that. And it is so much more than this. But this is where it all begins. This is the foundation. This is the foundation that we build everything else on. And if our beliefs, our religion, our practices are not built on book, chapter, verse, on faith, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, whatever we are building is not going to stand. It is going to be just an invention of man. It's going to be spin the wheel, pick whatever you want. Again, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. And in Luke 12:5, but I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. We fear, so many times we fear man more than we fear God. Man can kill my body. Man can take my life. God can take my soul. We need to fear God. And when we fear God, we need to obey him. We need to respect him. We need to be obedient to his word. We need to obey God, obey Christ. And then once we begin obeying him, what do? We get our heads in God's word, and we study and we learn, and we can put our hope, our trust, our confidence in what we can read in God's word. And if we can't, we should be asking questions. Our friends, and our friends and family that put their faith in some person, we just need to keep trying and praying to get them to open their Bibles so we can look at that. If there's anyone here this evening that needs the prayers of the congregation, that needs to respond to the gospel in any way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.
When Jesus comes to reward.